This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with Remy. Great to be with you on 97.5, the Fanatic Philadelphia. Also on 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Sports Monster, 107.5 Alive, and Rhythm Mix Radio. Our guest this week is Green Bay Packers safety Adrian Amos, who will be on the field Championship Sunday. Championship Sunday, you know what that means? It means we're only three football games away from the end of the season, so you will no longer be a football widow.
It means you're going to be glued to the TV for the next 3 weeks.
No, it's two games on Sunday.
And then you're going to be at the Super Bowl.
I'll be at the Super Bowl. So it's two games on Sunday, then I'll be at the Super Bowl, so you don't have to worry about any more football until
September. It never ends. Who are we kidding? Please. This doesn't end.
No, it doesn't end. Football's it's all year round. It's 24/7. It's 365 days a year, and even when they're not playing, there's news, there's coaching hirings. The Eagles hired a new coach this week, Nick Sirianni. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of stuff happening in football, but it is Championship Sunday. Buccaneers, Packers, and the Buffalo Bills, and the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll find out who's heading to the Super Bowl for what's going to be it's going to be different this year. Obviously, there's not going to be the same kind. There's not as many people are going to be there because of COVID-19 restrictions and the protocols changed everything. But the fact that the NFL was able to get to this point.
Actually, that is impressive. I'm not going to lie.
And do it on time. And that was their goal the whole way. And we got to get through this. Let's just get through it. Hope there's nothing that happens. But the fact that they were able to do this is very, very impressive. So had a chance to sit down with Adrian Amos, who is a safety on the Packers. We talked about facing Tom Brady, facing that Buccaneers, all the weapons they have on offense. Mm-hmm. Talked about his thoughts about Aaron Rodgers and also – what I thought was really interesting is when he talked about Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback who is very relatable to everyone in the locker room, which is a strong part of his leadership. And that was very important to hear, because when you are a leader, whether you're a leader of a football team, whether you're a leader in any walk of life, you have to be able to relate to the people who work with you and around you. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends with everybody.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to relate to them and really bond with them on
That's
a different level.
That's how you influence people. I mean, I don't think anybody influences anybody from a standpoint where you're bigger than them or better than them. You influence people from a friendship perspective or from like a mentor perspective. That's how you influence people, because you can relate to others that way.
And I think that's really important to carry over when you talk about trying to influence people to faith, trying to influence or inspire people to be, whether they're already believers, to be more active in their faith, or whether they're not and you want to help them maybe get to that point. You can never come at it from that point of better than, more than, higher than, and look down upon, or no matter who you are, what position. And I find that sometimes we may talk about our faith in such a way where it seems like it makes you feel like you're better than someone else. You're not. I'm not. I'm not better than someone because I believe in something. I'm just as sinful as the next person. I have as many selfish desires as the next person. And I think part of being a believer, part of being a Christian, is recognizing and understanding that we're all flawed and that we're trying to work through it.
Right. It's an awareness thing. You have to be aware of what you're doing. And I think that's a huge part of being a Christian, because you get this light bulb moment where you're like, oh, man, I really messed up when it comes to this. I don't know. I feel like my awareness is heightened now more than ever, because I feel like every time I do something wrong, I'm not just so okay with it. It's very highlighted in my brain that I'm just like, I gotta work on it. Like when I flip out on something or like I get mad or whatever, that gets to my soul.
You got the floor. Go ahead.
You know what I mean? It gets to me.
I've seen it.
Right? I mean, come on. We gotta be,
we all do.
We got to be real here.
Oh,
who
man.
Doesn't? You won't be a human then.
How about the day where, so this week, I know people can relate to this. So we got passwords for every freaking thing in the world, right? Everything. Passwords. There's password here, password there.
A nightmare.
So this week I celebrated 21 years at the Associated Press.
Congrats, my love.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But one thing happened to me that has never happened to me in those 21 years.
There's always a first.
I got logged out of my computer.
Yes.
Like, and there's no, I couldn't even get into it to change the password. Yeah. It was, and let me tell you,
Also, like, the background of that, before that, we were having the hardest time with something completely different. We're talking about, like, let's add on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's probably why. There were files that we were downloading. There were documents that we were exporting.
Ridiculous.
There were things that we were doing and all of this stuff. And then suddenly, I had changed my password because I'm sure everybody goes through this. Every X amount of, I don't even know, it's whether it's 60 days, 90 days, whatever it is. Password, I changed it, and then suddenly my computer's telling me it's got to restart. It restarts, and I can't get in. And I'm like,
but it restarted in a weird
way. It was like incredible. So I'm thinking, and you know me, when it comes to technology, I don't handle it well.
No, I'm right there with you because it gets me so frustrated.
I don't handle it well, and I was inspired this week by Philip Rivers, who retired from the NFL after a long career, and he played for the Chargers for his entire career, except past season he was with the Indianapolis Colts. And Philip Rivers retired, and for all of the impressive numbers that he put up, all of the touchdowns, all of the yards passing, all of the Pro Bowl appearances, what to me was most impressive about this guy, who is just one of the ultimate trash talkers in sports, is that he was able to do it without an expletive. My man would talk trash, his go-to word is like dadgummit. Like, I just dropped...
Can I use that?
5 seconds ago, I just dropped a freaking in there, right?
Right, you
which,
did.
You know, and I don't even want to use that. But I want to work dadgummit into my vocabulary.
Yeah, what, like, is that you're frustrated, so you say that, or
well,
how does that work?
It's substitute dadgummit for an F word, hon.
Oh.
You figure it out, like, for anything that, you know, you just go dadgummit.
For an Egyptian not to say that, it's just not going to sound right.
Try it. Come on, try it on the air.
What is it?
Dadgummit.
Dadgummit? Like, you're saying damn, like a dad?
Dad, like D-A-D.
Yeah.
G-U-M-it. It's three words. Dadgummit.
See, this is, you had to break
it together.
When you break it down, it's not fun anymore. Like, dadgummit, like, that's... See, I'm Egyptian. It's not going to work.
I named this week my AP Pro Football podcast was titled Dadgummit.
Wow.
In honor of Philip Rivers. But, you know,
That is so funny, though. I love it. It's so funny.
I think that my man has got, like, 9 or 10 kids. I lost track. I don't know how many kids he has. And he's a devout man of faith. He's in my book, Football Faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is very impressive. I don't even know how we got to this point, but I wanted to talk about, because Adrian Amos, as we're talking, as we're having this conversation, and he does a ton of work in the community, and I asked him about his inspiration for his foundation, and he tells me it was his grandmother, and she had Alzheimer's, because he does tons of work with Alzheimer's, and he does work with underprivileged kids. Mm-hmm. But as he's talking about his grandmother who suffered from Alzheimer's, he tells me that towards like the latter stages of her life, and he would go over and he would visit her, and she may not have remembered his name every time, and she didn't realize what was going on because obviously Alzheimer's had set in. But Psalm 91, he said, she could still recite it. And he tried to recite it, and he knew a couple of verses. It's obviously very long. And he's like, I would get her started, and she could read the whole thing. She could recite the whole Psalm 91.
Yeah.
But wait, before you do that, I want to read it for everybody because we all need this reminder. Mm-hmm. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91.
Let me
Can
you
imagine?
This is the best.
Remembering all of that?
I don't know how she remembered that, but this is how. So Psalm 91 is one of those psalms that you read for protection over and over and over. I mean, I know I did that back in March when things were going down with this whole corona thing. I literally read Psalm 91 every single day.
Did you really?
Yeah, Psalm 91 is a psalm for protection. This is when David was running away from Saul, and he's trying to hide from him, and God protected him from Saul. So it's the ultimate, you know, psalm for protection. So you read that over and over, over your family every day, over yourself every day, because it really does just, it makes you, when you read it, it makes you feel like,
it gives you comfort.
I'm good. Yeah,
it gives you comfort.
Yeah, so when you're feeling that little anxious and anxiety and whatever, you're feeling that your things are out of control. Actually, right now, it's things are out of control. So reading Psalm 91 is very important. But for his grandma to remember the whole thing, that is just,
it's amazing.
Wow. And it tells me one thing. Like, the Bible was woven into her soul at some point.
Yeah.
When she was younger.
Yeah.
You know, it was not something that she just read once a month or something. The Bible was something that she did on a daily, and that's how Psalm 91 was, like, it's ingrained on her, in her brain. And also because
that even Alzheimer's couldn't take it away.
Right. And also tells you something about the Word of God. Once it comes into your soul, it stays there. It shields you from everything and anything that could destroy that part of you, because the Word of God cannot be destroyed. Yeah. So that could, like, that disease could destroy other things in your brain, but it will not hurt that part of your brain, because that is God's protection and that is God's love. And that these are God's words. So it's impressive that she remembered it, but that's awesome. I love that. I need to remember it.
It's funny how you said you read it in March.
I did.
When, at the height of when Corona first broke out, because I was doing a little bit of research, you know, when I put the show together, and I say, oh, we're going to talk about this psalm, or we're going to talk about this verse, or we're going to talk about this scripture. I try and see. And one of the things that popped out was someone who wrote a blog, or maybe it was a sermon, I'm not sure what it was, talking about how as coronavirus is sweeping across all over, and fear and anxiety has you know, set in for people across the world, and you don't feel safe anymore. And in times of crisis, the children of God, as it has happened throughout history, can find their encouragement and their comfort through God's promises. And that's when people turn to Psalm 91. But, you know, I want to talk about and encourage people not to wait for March. Not to wait for, as you did, right, when you were reading this. Not to wait for time of crisis. Not to call upon the Lord for help, right? Sometimes we feel like, I'm good. I got this. I'm okay. You know, it's kind of like there. You know, sometimes some people joke, the only time I ever go to church is for weddings and funerals, things like that, right? Or the only time you talk to God is when you need something.
Yeah.
But he's always there, and he's always waiting. So as this psalm is a reminder that he's got our back, he's protecting us, he's covering us, he's sheltering us. That's one of the words in here that as you read it, you think about, you go, shelter, right? Like, when I think about shelter, I think about a home. I think about a dwelling. I think about, like, it's raining. And
it's just that it's funny.
I need shelter,
right?
You know, there's all kinds of shelters that people need. And I mean, God is the ultimate shelter.
Yeah, and if you read verse 6, it actually talks about a plague, sheltering from plague. So it was really fitting, and that's why I kept reading. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kept reading it, and I was just like, so Psalm 91, when I read it, I don't just read it, I declare it. So there is a difference between reading the Bible and declaring the truth that's in it.
Explain that a little bit. Yeah, explain that.
Declaration is something that you don't just say it. You declare it. That means you believe it. You know that it's there. You know it's going to happen. And when you say it, you're just absolutely repeating what you ultimately know and believe to be mm-hmm. the ultimate truth. So I'm declaring that this is not going to touch me. I'm declaring that God's protection is over me. I'm declaring that the blood of Jesus covers everything in my house, in my life, in my everything, all my family. So that's declaration. There are so many declarations in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can take some time to research and do that and then just write it down and read the declarations. Like, you know how modern day, there's a lot of people say, like, read your affirmations every day.
Yeah.
Affirmations are cool, but we have declarations. Like, it's God's declaring something over your life. Like, the blood of the Lamb is over this. There's a lot here on the line. You don't just take this lightly. The words in the Bible are there to declare it over you and know for absolute certainty that it's going to happen. Because what you say and what you declare comes true. Whatever comes out of your mouth, that means it came out of your mouth. That means something happened in the atmosphere. It changed and is going to come true. So this is why when we say in, like, you know, even to psychology, whatever you say happens, you know, it's true. So whatever you declare happens, you have the power to change your entire life through the power of your tongue. And that's also in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, the power of death and life is in the tongue. So you can declare those things and say them every single day and declare them over your family and your life. You can walk around your house and declare Psalm 91 over your family during this weird time that we live in. And watch what happens in the atmosphere. Watch what happens in life. It just, things change. Mm. You know, things really change. And obviously by the grace of God and His love alone, that these things happen, you know? It's not just words.
And they
change.
You talked about verse 6 in Psalm 91. I want to touch on a little bit verse 11. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Mm-hmm. When we think of angels, sometimes we think about, well, you know, we can't see them, we can't hear them, we don't know who they are. And while that's true of the holy angels and God's angels, He also sends angels into our life, people that are unexpected or people that don't know are there. Yeah. So, for example, as we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, we were going through a little difficulty with a project, right?
Yeah.
And we're working on a massive project, Remy and I. And as we're having technical difficulty with this, you know how often you call customer service people? And when you call customer service, it gets so frustrating. Sometimes you can't even get in. You can't even, like, you know, you're talking to, how many times have you heard me mute, you know, not mute it, but like yell at the robot on the other end, like, I want to talk to a person.
Frustrating.
You know, I'm embarrassed to say this, but it's true. I've done it. I've like yelled at the phone. So as we're going through technical, this particular instance, massive questions. We're so confused. We don't know what we're doing. We call someone. Well, we leave a message.
Yeah.
Within minutes, we get a phone call, which was mind-blowing.
It was mind-blowing.
Right? We don't often get a phone call that quickly. So we get a phone call, and the person on the other end of the line, his name is Michael. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, like, I want to call him, like, he was an angel.
I told him you're godsend.
Because, when I left him a message, his message said, have a happy and blessed day.
Right.
So I'm like, my man's already saying, have a happy and blessed day. I know this is somebody who hopefully can come through for us. Minutes later, he calls. Michael's on the other end of the line, walks us through every step that we needed to get what we were doing.
Yeah, he went above and beyond.
Not only that, he went above and beyond. He made sure what we were doing worked. Mm-hmm. There was a little glitch. He went in and fixed it. Mm-hmm. He expanded it. And mm-hmm. through it all, you're talking to him and I'm talking to him. And then he tries to calm you.
Oh, my gosh. He was, like, preaching to me. And by the way, by that point in the conversation, I'm crying, right? I'm crying. I'm like, dude, I'm crying. This is crazy. I can't believe this is happening. God is so good. Like,
yeah.
You know, and he's like straight up preaching now. And I'm like, I just can't believe this. This is amazing. And we tell him about the show. And
he's telling you, cool. Hey, next time you're getting that confused,
yeah.
You're that frustrated. Yeah. I actually thought, as I'm listening to him, I thought he's going to say, you know, take a minute and pray. Yeah. He literally said, call me.
Yeah, I know.
And I will help you through this. And I'm like,
and I was like, wait, what?
This is a major cut. You know, this is a huge company. This is the guy on the other end of the phone.
Right.
And here he is taking time out. He's got a list of people he's got to call back who are having these issues.
Right.
And he's being like, I've never experienced customer service like that. And then later, as I know we're going to do the show, as I know we're going to talk about Psalm 91, as I'm reading through Psalm 91, and I get to the part here, 91:11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
Right.
It dawned on me that today God sent an angel, and his name was Michael, to help us through what was a very troublesome, problematic moment for us.
And I want to add this, though. This stuff doesn't happen by accident. And I tell you why these things happen. These things happen because us as a family, I mean, I'm not just giving us props or anything, but as a family, we honor the Lord every single morning and every single night before we start the day, before we end the day, by sitting down, reading the Bible, and praying. So very first thing in the morning, we sit down, I read a passage, we each individually pray, and always, maybe 99% of the time, I say, Lord, I need your favor today. I need your blessings today. I need heaven to open. And then
we go about our day.
Yeah.
We screw up numerous times.
Oh, numerous times.
Numerous times.
But that's because... You know,
kids drive us crazy, I'm yelling like a maniac, things happen.
God's not fazed by that.
No.
He fazed by you honoring him first. See, when you honor God, he honors you. Mm-hmm. When you put him first and you put him in everything, he takes care of you because you decided, it's all decision, you decided to take the time to honor God and everything and ask for help and ask for favor.
Let me tell you something, too. You know how often at night, like as we do this every morning, we do it every night, where like, you know how hard it is to get the girls to, they just never want to go to sleep. And they're 7 years old, they want to get up, they want to play, the whole bedtime process sometimes becomes so troublesome.
I don't know if it's only us, but it takes us 2 hours.
I'm sure. And it's ridiculous. Like literally, I get annoyed to the point sometimes where like, so I'm sitting with them and we know we're always going to pray and I don't feel like it. I'm telling you. I don't feel like it. I'm just being flat out honest with everybody.
I just don't
feel like it. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like saying anything because they just ticked me off so much right now. I got work to do. I got this I want to get done. And here we are. We're sitting there. It's a time to go to bed. And I just don't feel like it. But you know what I do? Mm. I do it anyway.
You have to do it anyway.
Do it anyway. No matter how hard the enemy tries to make you take time away from the Lord, do it anyway. Right. Do it anyway. And then he will send his angels, and whether it's Michael or someone else. And I say this because...
It's funny that his name is Michael because Michael is an angel.
Right. But because we can be that angel for someone else. That's what I was getting at. Right. Yeah. We can be... If we see someone going through difficulty, or if we see someone who, for whatever reason, looks like they need prayer... Yeah. We can be that angel. We don't have to wait for God to send someone to help someone else. You can be an angel to someone. I can be an angel to someone. Yeah. And I think that that's part of the whole reading through this. God's giving us his protection, but why can't we also help our fellow person, our fellow man, woman, son, daughter, whoever it may be?
Right. We are called to do that. We're called to be God's army here on earth. Mm. And there's a lot of there's a lot of times where I'm going, okay, like, I don't know how I can help, but I'm going to try anyways. And I just do whatever I can. I sometimes just, the people that pop in my head, they pop in my head for a reason. So I sit there and pray for them because, well, God brought them to my attention for a reason. Sometimes I reach out. Sometimes I just pray. Sometimes I, you know, just use, check out their Facebook, see what's going on. Because, yeah, like, what is happening, you know?
Sometimes you can tell by somebody's posts.
Right, that something is going on.
Now you got me wanting to reach out to someone, too. I got to reach out to somebody.
It's true. This is how, saw, yeah. This how it works. Because yeah. How else would God check up on these people? How else would he send them help? You know, by nudging you, saying,
He keeps sending people for us every time we need somebody. And God knows, really, man, literally, God knows when we need it, because we need it often and we struggle through it often. And then there's always someone. So thank you to Michael. Thank you to the next person who's going to come. And I know I want to do better to be that person for someone else. Up next, you're going to hear Green Bay Packers safety Adrian Amos. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, Rob Mahdi with Remy. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. So please tell a friend, share it out, download, subscribe, all that great stuff. Leave a review too as well. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you sign up for our weekly email list, we'll send you each episode right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on all of our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Mahdi on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and at Real Rob Mahdi on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Mahdi. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of the more recent messages and interviews as well.
Green Bay Packers safety Adrian Amos has started every game since joining the Packers in 2019 after spending his first four seasons in the NFL with the Chicago Bears. He was a fifth-round pick out of Penn State in 2015. He started every game as a rookie. He continues now to play a key role in a secondary for a top-10 defense in the league. We sat down and talked about the NFC Championship game coming up against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, his thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, his defensive coordinator, his inspiration for his I'm Still Here Foundation, and his faith. Here is my conversation with Packers safety Adrian Amos.
Adrian, it's your second year with the Packers, and it's a second straight season for you guys in an NFC Championship game. This time it's in your house at Lambeau Field. How much of a difference do you think that makes, even though because of COVID, you can't have a full house, but just to be able to play at home on your turf, on your field, maybe snow even, how much does that impact you guys?
Yeah, either way, we got to go out and execute, but you always want to have the, you know, even if it's a slight advantage, you want to have that advantage going into a game, especially a game of this magnitude, being home. You know, we're going to have a crowd. You know, it's not the usual crowd of, you know, years past, but it's going to be a big crowd. You know, hopefully it's cold. But either way, you know, we have to get in there. We got to execute. But yes, the familiarity of being at home and going through your normal routine that you do weekly, I think it's a big help.
Nothing about this year has been normal, right? With COVID and the protocols and doing interviews on Zoom and doing virtual meetings with your team and everything. How have you guys kind of bonded? Because it's different when you're not in the locker room as much, right? So how have you guys bonded over the course of the season?
I think it's helped us that we had a lot of carryover from last year from a great, we started building a great chemistry last year with a lot of guys, you know, coming back. I know specifically in the secondary for us, it's basically the same secondary. And we're back and, just in the building, and we're all going through the same things. We're all going through the same struggles. We all complain about the same things that we have to, go through with the different protocols, the different steps that, may seem to get old, once in a while. But we find ways in between those, all of those rules, to find times within the building to, do little things. I know Coach does a lot of things as far as competition, in meetings or, just the smallest of things that that we've built memories by doing that helps us become closer as a team.
You guys improved significantly on defense. You went from 22nd in the league in terms of yards allowed to 9th this season. Adrian, what changed? What helped you guys get into the top 10?
Another year with learning the system, with learning each other. I think there were things that we did well last year and, we didn't put it all together. It's things that that we have to improve on this year. But I think the later half of this year, I think we've played our best ball on defense. We figured out certain weaknesses that we have that we could get corrected. A lot of things that we had to change were little things. It's never been about the ability of our defense. It's been about letting these one or two plays slide, or one person out of this gap or that gap that we have been continually fixing one by one. And I think that's made us better as a defense.
Well, you're facing a Buccaneers offense that has a lot of weapons. And, of course, Tom Brady is the quarterback in charge. It starts with him. What's the toughest thing about facing Tom Brady? And I haven't heard anybody on the Packers do a Chase Young and say, hey, we want the GOAT, we want the GOAT. But what's the toughest thing about facing him?
He's seen everything. He's been in the league for so long. He's seen everything. He's a proven winner. He knows the little – little nuances of the position to try to beat the defense, trick the defense, beat the defense. So we have to be sharp in what we do. We can't just show them the same thing all the time. You can't make it easy for them. We have to make it as hard as possible for him. and get after them a little bit.
They had the 28th ranked rushing offense, but those numbers sometimes kind of lie, and they can run the ball with Fournette and Jones. We saw that last week against New Orleans, 125 yards for both of those guys on 30 carries. So how do you make sure you don't focus too much on Brady and the weapons he has at receiver and tight end, and don't, you know, allow Fournette and Jones to beat you?
When you go into the game, you work on everything, but it's first and foremost, you have to stop the run. If you can't, you know, if you can't stop that, then it opens up everything else. So, you know, we have to go in there when we watch film throughout this week and we prepare. We have to prepare to stop the run, and we have to prepare, you know, because those early downs are very important. Those early downs, you know, it makes third down a lot harder or a lot easier based on what you do on the first and second down. So, you know, throughout the week, the first thing you work on is first and second down. So, you know, that's going to be important in stopping them.
In your two seasons, Adrian, playing with Aaron Rodgers, and before that you played against him quite a bit as a member of the Chicago Bears, what stands out to you? What has impressed you the most about Aaron from once being on the other side and now being on his side?
You know, even, you know, when I was with the Bears, I knew the talent he had, and I considered him, you know, one of the greats, if not the best ever, that I've seen. So, you know, just being around him, I just see more of his personality, see more, you know, of how competitive he is, you know, and how he is really a team guy. Like he goes out his way to, you know, to relate to the locker room, as you would call it. And I know, you know, this year he's just been, you know, just pumping positive vibes into the locker room and being that type of person, being that type of leader. So that's the thing that I've learned more about him, is just because, you know, a lot of people, you can get your picture of somebody based on what the media shows you. But when you see that person yourself and you talk to him yourself, you see what kind of guy he really is.
As competitive as he is, would it surprise you if he kept on playing into his 40s? I don't know if anybody can do what Tom's doing or what Drew Brees did at 42 and 43, but Aaron's getting up there. Would it surprise you if he keeps going, especially the way he's playing right now, to MVP type caliber?
I think he can play, you know, as long as he wants to. Especially, you know, you just see him in practice. You see him, how he's moving and how he can still throw the ball. I seen him in 2015, and I seen him, that was my rookie in 2015 when I played against him. And I see him now, and his arm strength has not wavered at all. To my eye, you know, I know they got analytics and stuff for that. You know, how hard you're throwing or something, but he's still making those crossbody throws off balance, you know, no looks, you know. Can throw the ball on the roof of the Don Hudson Center before. So it's just you know, just little stuff like that, just showing that his body is not, like, you know, breaking down on him.
You mentioned relatability with him, and I thought that was pretty important part of a quarterback's role as a leader on a football team. Do you think some guys just do it better than others, because maybe some quarterbacks can be too focused on what they have to do and forget about really leading the entire locker room? Maybe they focus on the offense, but how important is it to be a leader and relate to the offense, the defense, special teams, everyone, 1 through 53 on that roster?
I think that's important, you know, period, not even just the quarterback position. I feel like you want a lot of guys in the locker room that can relate to multiple people. You want your leaders in your locker room, that people that look, you know, it's just like with a head coach, just with Matt, you play harder for, you know, everybody plays hard, but it just seems like you go out your way for people who you like. So, you know, even if you don't really like them, you respect them. You respect for how they carry themselves. You respect for how they, you know, how they respect you, how they talk for you. How they talk to you, because, you know, out there and, you know, in the games you playing, but in this game, it's easy to go out there and play for yourself. you know, to try to get stats or this. But when you feel like you're playing for your brothers and you don't want to let that person next to you down. So, you know, you might hold that block a little bit longer before you, you know, shed and you know, and get off and try to get what you need to get done. You know, just that I think that's all important with the chemistry of a team.
Your defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, is a guy who's been a head coach in the NFL with Cleveland for a couple of years. He's now been in a coordinator role with Green Bay for three. What do you like about his style, his philosophy, how he goes about playing his defense?
You know, I think he's a good coach, as in, you know what you're going to get from him day in and day out as far as a person. When he's coming in the locker room after a win or loss, he's the same guy. He's calm. He's collected. He analyzes before he speaks. He's not a real, you know, emotional guy as far as, you know, coaches. You know, a lot of coaches can get down on his team fast, or can get too high on his team. He's never too high, never too low. Even keel. And I feel like, I think coaches like that have, you know, end up having success just as far as it's easier to evaluate when you're not, you know, emotional.
Adrian, you're obviously more than just an athlete. I know community work is important to you. You have a foundation called I'm Still Here, and it's dedicated to increasing awareness and providing resources for individuals and communities that are often overlooked. And your mission is to increase awareness of Alzheimer's disease while offering support to those who are affected by it. Tell me, man, what inspired you to launch this foundation?
You know, that it's been a part of my life. Alzheimer's initially, you know, this is something that's a part of my life. As in, my grandma passed away this year. She passed away this year, but she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's around 10 years ago. And I just seen her steady decline. And then even previously before my grandma, she took care of my great grandma, who also was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So I saw her, you know, on her latter half of her life as well with that, struggling with that disease. And, you know, and my grandma was always a very giving person. She was very, you know, she was in the community a lot. And me growing up around her, my father, my mother, like, they've just been, you know, it's just been instilled to me to giving back. When I'm blessed, be a blessing to others. So, you know, just finding different ways. And I knew I was, you know, I've always had a passion for helping kids, helping young kids grow up and try to give them resources as well. So I was just trying to find something where I can join together all the things that, you know, I'm passionate about and put them into one thing and to just make a positive change and impact. So with Alzheimer's and then with underprivileged youth, you know, and then, you know, put those together. And, you know, that's why I came with I'm Still Here, because I just feel like kids in, you know, inner cities, you know, in Baltimore, I'm from Baltimore. So kids in inner cities in Baltimore who are often overlooked, and then the elderly is something that, you know, I feel as though that's a overlooked with everything going on, the elderly, you know, who are going through Alzheimer's that have to change their lives and they have to be cared for.
Tell me about the work last month that you did with the Marion House in Baltimore. I know that they do some work with homelessness and women and their families.
Oh yeah. We did a lot of those little fundraisers and giving things like that to raise money and help these families that don't have these resources. A lot of these groups of people that we're helping without the help and the supplies, even especially during these pandemic times, without these, you know, without the help, without the people that are donating to our foundation, without people that are donating to them, they wouldn't have these resources. They won't have clothes. They won't have the supplies to eat, you know, and a lot of these other nonprofit organizations are, you know, they're struggling for money. So I think that during this time, during this pandemic, I think these are the most crucial times to any to donate and to participate and help.
You said you grew up in Baltimore. Were you a Ravens fan of Ray Lewis and those defenses?
Yeah, I was a big Ravens fan. That's you know, until I had to go up and start playing against them. That's my team. The first time I played them, it was just like surreal when I played against the Ravens down at MT Bank Stadium. That was surreal, and I scored my first touchdown that game too. So it was a big deal. But yeah, I grew up on defense, Baltimore Ravens defense, and the Ray Lewis, the Ed Reeds, the Lodi Nada, all those guys. You know, I remember vividly the 2000 Ravens Super Bowl against the Giants and everything. So yeah, that was you know what I grew up on as far as football.
When you talked about the work that you do, you said when you're blessed, be a blessing to others. That's a biblical principle about helping other people, reaching out to other people. How has your faith guided you in what you do and how you give back to the community? And really, how does it shape everything that you do as a man, as a person, as a football player?
Just growing up, being in the church, influences like my grandma, my mother, that just has instilled the faith into me. And then growing and learning everything for myself, actually diving into the Bible and coming into my faith as my own, I just realized that all of this is not possible, you know, if it's not for God and that He wants to use me to do, to do His work. So, you know, when I'm out there playing, when I'm out there playing and I'm able to do these things, yes, I worked hard to do these things, but God has also put me in this position and this platform to let, you know, His light shine through me. So I'm really strong with, you know, how I come off, you know, as a man of God, how I come off and how I live my life and the words that I say. And I feel like that's a big role in how I should and, you know, and I want to live my life.
Psalm 91 seems like it's an important scripture to you. What is significant about it? What do you like about it?
That's something in the beginning of that, like the beginning of Psalm 91, He dwelleth in the secret place of the land of the Most High. My great grandma, who had Alzheimer's, that's something that stuck with me because she, when her brain was, you know, deteriorating and everything, that's a verse that she always still used to be able to quote. It used to be open on her table, on her nightstand, and all you had to do was start it off for her, and she can recite the whole passage. I'm right now, and I'm in my right mind, and I still can't, you know, I can't fully, you know, word for word say the entire, you know, Psalms 91, but her, you know, losing, you know, she can't remember my name. She can't remember anybody's name around her own kid's name, but she could recite the passage and she could remember all her songs. She could recite that passage. And that's the reason that that verse just sticks with me all the time. Just for something like that. And that was real powerful to me that, you know, that the word never left her.
Wow, that's amazing. That's an incredible story. Well, Adrian, man, I really appreciated this conversation, appreciated your time. Look forward to seeing you out there on the field on Sunday against Tampa, and maybe we'll see you in Tampa at the Super Bowl. You guys got to get through one more. So appreciate you, man, and wish you a ton of blessings.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That was Green Bay Packers safety Adrian Amos. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsors. We couldn't do this without them. Please check them out on our website. Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors who keep us going, and we truly appreciate their support. Wonderful people, awesome businesses. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages, whether you want to be part of our radio show on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philly, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, 107.5 Alive, all three shows, our podcast, our social media, whatever it is, we can make it happen. We also post video clips of our interviews. So there's a ton of different ways you can partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow the ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise, but you just want to help the ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page on faithonafieldshow.com. And now, very new, we also have, you can help our ministry by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel Store. We have t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, mugs, face masks, and much more with awesome sayings. The My Story, His Glory is a popular shirt. We have a new design featuring a football helmet that says, I wear the helmet of salvation, which comes from Ephesians 6:17, and many others. So you can check that out on our site, faithonafieldshow.com. Click under merch, and it's also all over our social media. I want to thank Packer safety Adrian Amos for being our guest this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton and Pastor Scott Foreman for all of their hard work for Faith on the Field Show. Thank you also to 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, 107.5 Alive, and Rhythm Mix Radio for airing Faith on the Field Show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.